Hey guys, it's Lana and welcome back for another episode of Seeing Other People. Today is such a fun one. It's one that definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone a bit. As you guys know, or maybe you don't know if you're new here, but I never really talk about sex, which is obviously a huge part of modern dating and relationships and all that comes with all of that, dating apps, going on dates, et cetera, et cetera. I've like never really been comfortable talking about sex. I also feel like I have to keep some things to myself. You guys know a lot about my life and there are some things that I just would like to keep for me, and those who it is relevant to. So I haven't really talked about it, but there is one specific topic I've wanted to cover for a really long time. And I've been searching and searching for the right guest. It's always been in the back of my mind, like, okay, who can I talk about this with? Who would I feel comfortable enough to talk about this with? And it finally happened. So the topic is really navigating sex and sexual health in the age of hookup culture. It is so confusing out there. Dating is hard enough as is. And then you throw in this whole other layer and people have all different sexual needs, sexual fears, sexual trauma, and things that they don't know how to talk about. They are afraid to talk about because we were never really taught how to talk about it. There are so many different boundaries that we should be setting for ourselves that we don't know how to set for ourselves. And so this is a really, really, really important topic. It's a topic that really, I just needed to find the right guest for. And so I'm so excited. Today we have Alyssa Lubacek, aka Alyssa Lube, aka Alyssa from the Circle, aka Alyssa from my hometown in Westchester, New York. We grew up together. She was a year older than me. And I am so incredibly proud of her and of the work that she is doing in terms of her being like a sex educator and being a relationship coach, but also how she presented herself on The Circle. For those who don't know, The Circle is a Netflix show. It is a reality show. It's kind of like a social media competition. Definitely check it out. Check out the new season, season four. That is where Alyssa just was on and it came out recently. It's an amazing season. It's an amazing show with amazing people. But yeah, Alyssa is a sex and relationship coach, and I just really, like I said, I admire the way she spoke about it on the show, because people usually think about a sex coach, a sex therapist, and they're like, oh, like they can help me have better sex. And it's like, that's really one of a thousand more important things that they do. And she made that really clear on the show that her mission is to help empower women and to help people work through trauma and work through things that have happened to them, so that they can embrace their bodies and their sexuality. And I just think it's so beautiful and it's so inspiring and so admirable. So I'm really, really, really excited. Alyssa was also just a great person to cheer on and watch on the show. I'm not going to give any spoilers in this episode. Do not worry, but let's get into it. I'm so excited. Let's bring Alyssa in. If you know me, you know that my dating life was riddled with dating anxiety. The second I would get home from a date, the only thing I could think of is like, oh my God, I must have done something wrong, or maybe he hates me. Maybe I'm never going to hear from him. And I'd be thinking those things even if the date went amazing. And I would literally overthink. I would self-sabotage. I would convince myself that it was over. And I would stay up all night, like not being able to sleep, not being able to focus on anything other than how bad this great date actually went. And what helped me get over that and really be able to say like, okay, that was a good date and I'll hear from them. And if I don't, like, okay, was taking Mindset Wellness CBD's Calm Gummies after my dates. They really helped me just stay present and realize like, okay, I went on a date and I did the best I could and it went the way it went and that's all I can do. And I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to get through my day tomorrow. I don't need to be checking my phone every 3 seconds. And it was such a game changer for me in my dating life. So I definitely want that for you. If you are currently experiencing dating anxiety, you have to try. Head to mindsetwellness.com and use code Seeing Other People at checkout to get 20% off and free shipping. And again, those are the Calm Gummies. I promise you, they will help you so much. And we are here with the one, the only Alyssa Lubacek from The Circle. Alyssa, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. This is like so surreal that it's the two of us sitting here.
I know. Yeah. So the funny thing is that you're Alyssa from The Circle, but you're also Alyssa from home.
Yes. From school.
from school,
grade school.
childhood.
Like, how? It's so weird that, like, how did we both end up here?
I know. It really is wild. I mean,
it's so cool.
I remember when I heard that you were going on the circle, my jaw dropped and I was like, holy shit. At first I was like, wait, I'm jealous. And then I was like, Alyssa's going to be incredible. Oh, like, thanks. What was your reaction?
Well, I'd applied sort of like flippantly because I was in between doing a whole bunch of things and I thought it would just be fun. And I never, ever, ever thought that it would actually happen. And, you know, the whole process takes so long. Like, I started interviewing in like June of last year, and then I didn't actually leave for the show, I think, until like August, late August. Wow. So it takes a little while. It takes a couple months. And then the day that I got the call, I was like babysitting. And I was with these two kids and I get the phone call and it's like, you're going to England. Cause that's where we film. Yeah. And me and these two children who have no idea what's going on are jumping up and down. And we're like, ah, it was just,
oh,
so,
oh my God.
But even then, like, nothing could really prepare me for what that experience has been like. Like, even it didn't even feel real until this weekend when we did our little like circle wrap party and being with people from the older seasons and our season and being like, oh my God, like we are all the same now. Like, you are not a celebrity unlike myself now. Like, we are all the same. And that's right. So strange.
Cause I'm sure it was also strange, like going from you left to film in August, like you filmed and then you came home, you went back to your life while you waited for it to come out. And then it came out. And then like, literally it's like overnight fame.
Yes. It's like, it was maybe 7 months from when we filmed to when we actually aired. And during that whole time, it was like, I think I spent most of my time trying to just lay low because I was like, I know it's going to be crazy when it all comes out. And I'm so glad I did. Oh, I immediately got a therapist too, because I was like, I'm going to need you.
Yes.
And so me and Christine are on texting terms now because it's just been like such a whirlwind. And like, you know, like coming from like a quiet little town, like this is so out of the realm of like possibility. And like I said, like nothing can really prepare you for this. And then this weekend we were all together and we're getting like stopped in the street by people who want to like take pictures. And I'm like, wait, like, it's been a wild time, but I feel very lucky. Especially because it's been such like a relatively smooth experience. Like, I haven't had any big, you know, terrible things, knock on wood, happen. So
yeah, well, and hopefully you won't, because you truly were so incredible and you were like wholeheartedly yourself, and there's nothing that you said or did that I think could possibly like upset or offend anyone. And
you
so
know, you would think you, that
but you never know. Trust me, you should see the comments and the DMs that I get on a daily basis.
Oh,
and I'm
sure.
Like, wait, I'm just trying to help people with their dating lives,
right?
Like, relax.
Oh my God.
But hopefully people keep their paws off of you.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, because at the end of the day, when you do shows or even like a TV show or even something like this, like you end up being like a character to the people who are consuming the content, and less of like your job is to be a character to them at that point. And so you have to just take it as such. Like, if they're going to insult you, they're insulting this character that you're presenting on the show. And And they're not insulting like you as a person, because they don't know you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I hate to tie it back to dating here, but that's kind of how I feel like people should approach dating apps. Like, people take things so personally on dating apps, where it's like, oh, this person unmatched me, or they didn't respond. Like, why did they even swipe right? Like, now they hate me, or maybe I said something wrong. It's like, they don't know you personally. They just know this two-dimensional thing of you, and you're not even a real human until they actually meet you.
Exactly. And like, it's kind of like when you're on like Postmates or Grubhub or whatever, and you're getting food and you're adding things to a cart, and then you're like, me, I don't think I really want that. And they did you a
100%,
favor.
100%.
They did you a favor, because they at least didn't waste your time more than they had to. You should want enthusiastic yeses across the board from, you know, beginning to end. If well, hopefully not in the end, but from the beginning, if you can help it. And so if you're having like sort of like feelings coming from the other person, it's not worth your time anyway. So if they've unmatched you, or they've, you know, honestly, even if they've ghosted you, they did you a favor. They were not going to be that nice to you anyway.
And if someone ghosted you, they do not have the emotional capacity to communicate and to like write mm-hmm. two sentences or pick up the phone and call you and just say like, hey, I'm whatever, for whatever reason, you know, like they couldn't even do that. So right. you dodged a bullet.
100%. I think that all the time, like that's not a person that you want to build something sustainable with anyway. They did you a favor.
Absolutely. It's not personal either.
Yeah.
So okay, you were in the circle and you were making such great connections with people all mm-hmm. through messaging. Mm-hmm. So obviously that is very similar to what happens on dating apps and in like the texting phases. I'm curious if you picked up on any kind of tips or tricks that you could give to the Seeing Other People family about how to really like put your best foot forward in messages, or like ask the right types of questions mm-hmm. over message to help develop deeper connections with people.
I think people get really kind of in their head with sounding cool. Like I have a friend who, she's quite a bit younger than me. She's like 21, but she is very like, using three emojis is too much. One is enough. And if you're using more than one, then like you're kind of weird or like whatever it may be. I think that when you're speaking through text and you're trying to communicate who you are as a person, just speak the way that you would like in real time, as much as you can. Like one of the things, honestly, I don't think the way that I was typing was even nearly as entertaining as like Yu Ling, who would type. And every time I saw her little, the bubble pop up that she was typing something, I was like, I can't wait to hear what this woman says, because everything mm-hmm. she said was just hysterical. And that's exactly how she talks. Like she sold herself accurately. That is exactly what she's like in real life. And so I think the closest you can get to how you are in real life via text is the way to go. Like, don't worry about like, I know people turn off their like capital, the auto cap thing
or cause it's all lowercase. Yes. I know.
There was someone that I even got caught in that recently. There was someone that I was texting like months ago, and the guy had, he's like in his 30s. I'm like, why do you not have auto cap on? Do you conduct any sort of professional anything on your phone? I'm confused. But that's a whole other thing for a whole other day. And he had the caps off, and I found myself getting like insecure about like the capitalization of my text messages.
You're like, should I not have caps? Like, right? Is he judging me for my caps?
Right. I was like, do I look stuck up? Is this a reflection of me being absolutely a loser? I'm so confused. And then I was like, that is so absurd and silly.
Yeah.
I also am a big fan of a voice note, which we couldn't love. We couldn't do on the circle, but like there was someone that had texted me once, and like at some point he just was like, he sent me a voice note, and he was like, I'm really more of a voice note guy. This is so much better for me. And I was like, oh my God. Are we in love? Because it was like one of my favorite things anyone ever said to me when trying to get to know me, because that's just so much easier. Realistically, like I love the idea of people being like, I am much more of a phone call person. Realistically, like it's just like it's not going to happen for most people. And I think people who like randomly FaceTime others without a warning are just absolutely psychopaths. No, never do that to me. I know other people are different, but that just is a hard pass for me. But yeah, so I like a good voice note, and throw emojis in there, throw hashtags, do like, just be yourself as much as you can. Don't worry so much about like looking cool, because at the end of the day, like you are who you are, and you want that person to embrace you immediately. If they think you're weird by the way that you text, or they think that like you're lame by the way that you text, again, don't waste your time. Just be yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because also you want them to like you for who you are, not mm-hmm. for the chill, laid back texter that you're pretending to be.
Yeah.
Like, what even is that?
Don't water yourself down for people.
No.
Because then you'll do that. Yeah. You'll have to do that forever. And then like, what is the point? You want to find somebody who accepts you the way that you are immediately.
Yeah. And truly nothing feels better than knowing that throughout the dating process, you're not playing games. You're mm-hmm. not trying to put on like a cool facade. Like, you're just being yourself, and they like you for who you are.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like that's how you build those like really beautiful, honest connections with people is when you like come to the table with, this is everything that I got. And obviously, you know, there's some things maybe you want to wait and be, it's more appropriate to hang on to until later. But in terms of your personality, like, be everything that you are right away. That's so much more important. So much more important.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. So, okay, Alyssa, you are a sex educator and relationship coach.
Yes.
How did you end up doing that? What led you to do that? What's that been like?
So I, when I was in LA, I lived there for like 2 years, and it was during the pandemic. And so every job that I like thought I had lined up and ready to go fell through like pretty immediately. And so I needed a job. And so the assisting of a sex coach position came up through like a friend of a friend. And I was like, you know what? I think that would be really fun for me. And so I applied, I got it. And I had such a good time with my boss. And I also learned so much. Like, I couldn't believe how little we learn unless we actively seek it out. And she said all the time, like, people are so worried about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And like, it's appropriate to know how your body works. Like, that is important. So that was like a big game-changing moment for me. And for her, she did a lot of like trauma remediation. So there were women, she worked specifically with women, sometimes with men, but mostly women. There are women who had experienced like a variety of like assault, their husband cheated on them, or there was one woman who had cervical cancer. And so she had lost like all of the feeling in her genital area. And her husband was, they've been married for like 30 something years. And her husband was like, this feels weird. Like, I don't really want to have sex with you because you can't feel anything. And it just feels like, you know, it feels strange. Like it felt, I guess, probably some level of like unconsensual in some way, even though it was. So yeah. And then that was like a big moment for me because I'm watching this person who's experienced this like very extreme pain and sort of grief losing part of your sex life, especially with your husband that you've been with for so long. And I watched my boss like completely remediate that for her. And she took her from a place of having no feeling at all to feeling like actual pleasure so she could enjoy her marriage again for the first time in years. And wow. So that whole experience was really life-changing for me. And then later that year I had booked The Circle and I filmed the show, and I knew like I had already known that I wanted to pursue it on my own. But then after that, I knew like I was going to have a platform, and it was really important to me to use that platform for like good, solid reasons. And so I knew I wanted to get all of my education and certification ducks in a row so that when it aired, I could be like a helpful resource to people.
Absolutely. What was that process like? Like, what was the education that you had to get?
So I did a certification program with the Sexual Health Alliance. And if you were to go to be a sex therapist, you would do the same coursework that I did, but you would go for like your master's degree or your PhD, go through the testing to be a therapist, and then do this training. I didn't do any of that stuff because I'm not trying to be a therapist. But I did all of the other training. So it's a lot of reading labs and reading like scientific journals. So it's very like dense reading, but it's important because everything that we want to communicate to people should be research and evidence backed, so that we're providing true and honest information that is factual. So much of sexuality is kind of bogged down in what's like a lot of like religion and politics and social things that sort of muddy up the waters. And then it makes things confusing for people. Like, I think that a lot of the times when I do these question boxes, the questions that I get, I would say like 80% of them are some variation of, am I normal for XYZ? And the answer is almost always yes. And it's, we just have all of these other influences that that get in the way of like seeing things really clearly. So when I was going through the certification process, and in that process, we do like quizzes and tests and essays and a presentation and, you know, the way that you would do any other coursework. When we were going through this whole process, it was really amazing to actually see these studies that were done that can actually give us tangible proof of the things that we're preaching to people. So, and it's all things that make people feel better. Like it brings me so much joy to tell people, like, you are normal and everything is fine and everything you're doing is fine and healthy, and just, you know, give people the power to embrace themselves and their sexuality and create some sort of like agency around your own body, and making people feel empowered to use and express whatever they want to.
Absolutely. And I have to say, like, I really admired how you approached it when you were on the show, where you were like, because I feel like people hear like sex coach, sex educator, whatever, mm-hmm. and they think like, oh, like she can tell me things about like how to have like better sex and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you probably can, but that wasn't your goal. You were like, no, like I love empowering women. I love yes. helping women heal, helping people mm-hmm. heal from their traumas. And I think that's so important because it's never talked about. And yeah. people who have gone through traumatic experiences, especially related to sex, related to their bodies, that is literally never spoken about. And mm-hmm. people end up so isolated about it. And it's like, we're not raised to talk about this stuff. Even like I taught health in high school. I was like, our school had a program for everyone listening called like peer leadership. And like, mm-hmm. I literally taught the New York State health curriculum yes. as a senior in high school to sophomore students. And we literally didn't talk about this.
Yeah. I was a peer leader also.
Oh my God.
Is that so funny?
That's so funny.
We have like weird parallel lives.
Yeah, really?
But yeah. And what was I going to say? Oh, the other thing is it's not discussed enough. It's not discussed openly. We're kind of told that we should not talk about it at all. And it goes back to the way that we're raised even as kids, which is like mm-hmm. nobody's fault necessarily. It's just been what's been happening culturally, like calling our genitals our private parts instead of calling them the actual names, like a penis and a vagina or a vulva. Like I didn't even know that the vulva was like, I didn't know what that was before I started the work that I'm doing. And if you don't know, your vagina is just the inside, and your vulva is the whole external part of the female genital anatomy. So that's information that I didn't know. And it's my own body. Like that's crazy. And I remember like my biggest takeaway from health class was I remember our teacher, don't really know if I could say his name, so I won't. But I remember our teacher saying once, he was really trying to get us to like embrace condom use. And he was like, if you're with your partner and you're already naked, no one is going anywhere. No one's going anywhere. So you can absolutely grab a condom and put it on because no one is leaving. Everyone has made a decision here and no one's going anywhere. And I think that was great advice. Yeah. Great advice. And I think about that all the time, even now, but that's like literally the only thing I remember.
Yeah. I didn't even remember that part, but now that you said it, I do. I mean, I definitely remember that normal is just a setting on a washing machine
yes!
and you'd rather have a mad friend than a dead friend.
Yes. Oh my God. That is funny. Yes.
Very
I was thinking about normal is just a setting on a washing machine yesterday. It's hysterical.
It is. Great phrase. It really is.
It is. But you know, and part of it is not even like the fault of, it's really not the fault of the health teachers at all.
Not at all.
No, most states in the United States don't require comprehensive sex education beyond abstinence. So what's funny about that is the places that only require and only teach abstinence are also the states that have the highest rate of teen pregnancy. So you're not stopping people from having sex. You're just stopping them from doing it safely.
Yeah. And in an educated way. And it goes back to what you were saying before with like religion and politics. And that's why. And it is really so sad that that's the way our country works. But that's why it's amazing that you're doing what you're doing with your platform.
I'm trying.
So obviously there are so many like complicated and confusing parts about navigating sex and sexual health, especially mm-hmm. in the age of hookup culture. Mm-hmm. So I have a few listener questions about this and I'm hoping you can give some great answers. So for the first one, from a health perspective, mm-hmm. if someone's been on a date or a few dates with someone, or they met someone at a bar, they end up back at their apartment, how or should they bring up, like, hey, when's the last time you got tested? Or like, hey, do you have a condom? Because I feel like people are so afraid to ask those things because they feel like the second they bring it up, the person's not going to want anything to do with them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think here's the thing. If the person doesn't want anything to do with you after you've asked that question, that's not a person that you should be sleeping with anyway. Because ultimately, like, that's a safety thing. Like, you want to be safe. And there are absolutely, you know, STIs that you can get that you'll take an antibiotic for and you'll be fine. But there are some that you might not have symptoms for. And then if you don't get checked, you could be infertile later in life. You could have kidney failure later in life. Like, there's so many, like, some of these are really serious and people don't get tested enough. Like, especially in the age of hookup culture, it seems really ridiculous to say that you should get tested between every partner. That seems really silly, I think, for some people, but that is the truth. Like, you should, especially if you're not going to be having protected sex, because some of these STIs are life-changing and life-altering, and you're putting your health at risk. And so I always feel like the best time to ask is, like, as things are getting hot and heavy. So, like, before the actual, like, clothes might still be on, but you know that they're coming off, then you could just be like, have you gotten tested recently? If not, can we use a condom? And if they get weird about that, that's on them. It's not on you. Like, you are your own priority at the end of the day. Like, this person may come and go. You are your own priority. You have to have your own best interest in mind. And I know that it's hard once you've gotten to that point to draw a boundary of, like, saying that I need to prioritize myself and, you know, leave if you have to, if this person is being a jerk or whatever it is. But, you know, nothing is worth risking yourself and your own health. Because, like I said, it could be something you take an antibiotic for, or it could be something that, you know, ruins your immune system for the rest of your life and shortens your lifespan. And when it comes down to that's a real possibility. And when it comes down to it, ask the awkward question, because you want to be around. You want to be around to experience all the rest of the things that you want to in your life. Not all STIs are life and death, but some of them are. And so it's just worth asking.
Yeah. And going back to what you said. Yeah, exactly. If that person is weird, going back to what you said in the beginning, if they suddenly don't want to continue taking their clothes off with you, if they don't want to sleep with you, if they don't want to use a condom, that says everything you need to know about them.
Yes, very much.
And I have had friends recently, like, go on a few dates with somebody and then they were about to have sex and the person literally said, like, no, I don't use condoms. And they were like, okay, then we're not having sex. And he
good
was
for
like,
them.
And he, like, argued with it.
That's crazy. That is crazy. But you can also, I mean, like, that's so wild. That makes me so angry.
I know.
But I think it's also a good idea if you're someone who's, like, more casually dating and you're like, my tired ass stays the hell home. So I'm not as much out in the world as I used to be. But when I was, like, really actively dating, I always had a condom in my wallet. And you can go to, and it's like, it's only one that I would have with me, but you can go to, like, health clinics, Planned Parenthood, and they'll have them in, like, a little thing at the front. You just grab one and leave. And and you just have
to. They want you to take them.
They want you to take them. Take it, put it in your bag or in your wallet and bring it with you anytime you go on a date. And if that person is weird, you leave, because that person doesn't have your best interest in mind. To me, those are, I'm assuming that's mostly the men who are saying they're not doing it. So those are men who are going to treat you like, for lack of a better term, like a whole. They don't care about you as a person, if that's what they're doing. And that's, again, they've saved you some time. And it's disappointing and you have every right to be sad, but at the end of the day, they've saved you some time and saved you some energy and effort, because that's not a person who cares about you. Like, they care about having sex with you. And I promise you, there's someone else who will also want to have sex with you, who will wear a condom or get tested and show you the results, you know?
Yeah, 1000%. Okay, next question. I have two questions that are kind of similar. The first one is, for those who have specific sexual needs, desires, or fears, how can they best communicate that with new partners? And then the one that's kind of similar is, what is the best way to approach being intimate for the first time with a new partner?
I would say if you have fears that you feel uncomfortable expressing, it's worth waiting to sleep with the person until you can. Like, don't make yourself uncomfortable because you will likely perpetuate whatever that fear, or like maybe it's internalized trauma. You'll end up internalizing it even further, I think. So I think your best bet is to wait as long as you can so that you feel comfortable having those conversations. And it could just be, you're sitting on the couch and you're cuddling and you're just having like a nice conversation. You say, I have to bring something up because I really like you. And I want to like continue with everything that we're doing, but I have to bring this up before we do. And, whether it's like I've had some really bad experiences in the past, and so I get like a little bit shy or whatever it is. Whatever the fear is, take your time before you have the conversation. Really think about and identify what is that fear? What is the feeling that you feel? How do you feel it? And why is it important that that person knows that? And how can that person care for you in that moment? Like, I know there's even some like biological parts of it too. Like, if you've had experience with any sort of sexual assault, you might not experience like wetness in the same way that other people would. And other sort of like those precursors to arousal might not happen for you the same way. And that's all completely fixable. All of it is fixable. You just need to give yourself and your body time. One of the things that we used to say all the time, my old boss and I, is to really like notice, really take moments of like noticing this is the feeling that I'm feeling. And this is where it's landing in my body. And if you can communicate that internally, you'll have a much easier time communicating that to the partner so that they have a better idea of how to care for you in those moments. So you can continue to have these, more successful encounters and hopefully remediate some of that. Over time, those feelings will start to naturally fade if you can find a partner who is going to like actually put the care and energy in.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. And I also think, you started by saying like when you're cuddling or like just sitting on the couch, you can start to bring it up. I think another thing that helped me, because I have had like bad experiences in the past with sex and intimacy, is starting out by just kind of testing the waters. Like, how does it feel to open up to this person about this? Not fully, but like cracking the door open. I don't have to swing it open. And how are they reacting? Are they making me feel more safe? Are they being patient and understanding? And then asking like what they can do. And in hearing their response, that usually made me feel more comfortable to open up even further, whether it be like in that moment or another time. But it did at least indicate to them, like, okay, well, like, we're not having sex right now. And that's kind of what I needed to communicate.
And if you can avoid it, if you are a person who needs more time, but you have a hard time in that situation creating the boundary, which I've experienced that in the past too, where I would need more time and I knew I needed more time, but like if my partner or my date didn't need more time, I would just be like, it's fine. And like, it's not really fine. And so if you're a person who has a hard time drawing that boundary, try really hard to have as many dates as you can out in public first. And then once you start to have dates that are like at your house or his house or whatever, that's when you can find just like a quiet moment where you're feeling safe, start to crack that door open and see how they start to react. And I think the biggest thing is I think people are a lot more open and embracing and are willing to work with you on things if you're really open in communicating. I think people start to like close up and get nervous when they don't know what to do. If you just kind of tell them, like, I was sexually assaulted and X, Y, and Z, and give them your experience and just sort of like hand it to them, you can't expect a person to know what to do with that, and especially to know what to do with that for you specifically, to make your life easier and make this experience easier. So really take the time to focus on yourself and consider what is the feeling that you're having, what can this person do to make you feel better so that when you have that conversation, you can be open and honest. Even if the answer is, I'm not really sure what I need, but as we like go through our whole experience dating, I just want you to know that so that you can be like, you know, whatever, extra receptive to, to when I just need like a second to like cool off or whatever it is. I just want to give you the background so that you know if later down the road something feels like a little bit off, it's probably related to this. I promise I'm fine and we'll circle back and talk about it and it'll all be fine. I think people just appreciate the heads up and the background from you. And if they really care about you, they'll be patient and they'll listen and they'll take the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to what you said about like in the earlier dates, like doing things out of the house and stuff, if you do end up going back to someone's apartment, one thing that I always did that kind of empowered me to say like, okay, I feel like I'm in control here is like, as we'd be walking back, whether it be to like my apartment or their apartment, we'd be getting to the door. I would be like, by the way, like you can come up, but we're not having sex. Or like, I'll come up, but we're not having sex.
Yeah.
And I would just say that right then and there when I like it was on my mind and they would be like, okay. And I will say like 9 out of 10 times that they respected that and were like, and I felt totally comfortable, like just like relaxing and enjoying whatever we were doing. And then in the 1 out of 10 times that they weren't, that told me everything I needed to know about them.
Exactly. Exactly. They, again, saved you a lot of time. Yeah. I think we internalize things like that as rejection, but in reality, what that is a person who's either just, you know, that person is just not there for you. And that doesn't mean that they're a bad person, but that means they're not a good fit for you in one way or another anyway. So I think part of this whole like dating process, especially now, is really embracing that people are looking for someone else who matches them. And in the event that that doesn't happen for one reason or another, that doesn't mean that you are not worthy and that you don't have value. It just means that person wasn't for you. And that's okay, because the likelihood of you finding your person, you know, right away is slim. You gotta do some shopping. And I think it also, a lot of it is about timing too. So maybe that person would be great for you years from now, but right now they're trying to like just hook up with whatever is moving. And
that doesn't say anything bad about them or bad about you. It's just not a right fit.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's not a rejection. It's just not a good fit.
Yep. And you're not supposed to like and be liked and fit with every single person you go on a date with. That's just not possible.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. Next question I have is, how can I trust that someone isn't going to leave after I have sex with them?
I think the best way to kind of safeguard yourself there is to wait as long as you can. If you're trying to have this person stick around, your best bet is to wait a couple of dates. If you sleep with someone sooner, doesn't mean anything aside from you just haven't been able to learn enough about that person yet. But, and that there's nothing wrong with having dates, you know, having a first date where you end up going home with each other. And maybe that is somebody that you end up dating for a long time. It doesn't, you know, mean one thing one way or another, but you'll have a better chance of knowing if they're going to stick around if you spend a couple of dates with them. And there's nothing that you can really do to force someone to stay. There's nothing you can like, you know, if they wanted to just sleep with you and leave, like they're going to do that. The best thing you can do is have an open, communication with them. I would say if that's a pattern that you're seeing in your dating life, to wait at least 3 dates and by that 3rd date, have a conversation with them and be like, hey, I really like you. And I want to continue seeing you, but I just wanted to know, like, are you looking for something more serious or are you looking for something more casual? All of those things are fine, but I just want to know before this, like, you know, progresses. And I think more times than not, people are almost like caught off guard by how honest that is, and they'll give you an honest answer. So I think have that conversation before you actually sleep with the person, regardless of the timeline, and you'll see better success. But wait as long as you can if you feel like you're unsure, because you don't know a person that well after a single day. So you can't really say whether a person is going to stay or go unless you talk about it.
I wish more than anything that that question was normalized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody should be allowed and encouraged to go on a date and ask that question and then know where the other person's at.
I know. But you know what? So I'm 28. I turn 29 later this year. For me now, that I will ask anyone that question 20 minutes into a date. I don't care. I will ask them because I just don't have the time and I don't have the energy. And like, dating is fun, but like, there's so many other things that go on in life. And like, I have to reserve my energy for other things. And so I think especially as you get older, that question does get normalized. But when you're in like your early 20s, that feels like a very scary thing to ask. It feels like you're asking someone to marry you. And I know that it does. but really, like, for the people who take it that way, that's on them. It just is. Because what you're asking is, I think if you also say to them, whatever you want to do is totally cool. I just want to be able to make like a better decision for myself.
Totally.
Again, I think people the men especially will be like, okay. I guess I have to address this now. And I think you'll catch people off guard, but again, you'll save yourself a lot of time and you'll save yourself a lot of energy. You don't want to like emotionally invest into someone thinking that you're going to date them. And then later down the road, you find out that that wasn't even what they were looking for from the start. Like I've had so many of those experiences, especially when I was in my early 20s. Oh my God. Where you're dating someone, you're like, this is going so well. We're going to get married. I'm so excited. And then, you know, you get that one text and it's like, I've had so much fun, but I'm not looking for anything serious. So bye. And I'm like, huh? Then what were we doing for 2 months?
Or no, what's worse is that text that says, I've had so much fun. I'm not looking for anything serious, but like, I'm letting you know that. And I'm happy to keep hanging out if you are, because I like hanging out with you. Because that text I got so many times, and every single time I'm like, well, they like me.
Right.
They want to keep hanging out with me. So I'm going to keep hanging out with them and convince them to want to date me. And that obviously never fucking happened.
Yes. Yes. We are not taught how to like set boundaries for ourselves enough. And that, I think before you even go out on a date with anybody, you should mentally set boundaries of, this is like, right now I'm in a place where I want to have a serious relationship. So if I go out with this person, even if they're so much fun and they're so hot and I want to touch their butt all night long, I won't do it because I know that I'm going to look for something in this that's not there. And that's really, really important. And you should not have to convince someone to date you. And you shouldn't have to, but you also will not. You won't. Like, that never happens. It will not happen. And you should want, like I said, the enthusiastic yes from the start.
Absolutely. Okay. A few listener questions that are a little more lighthearted now.
Okay.
One, Alyssa said Brew was hot after she met him on The Circle. Did they meet up after the show?
So I don't know how many people, I feel like everyone knows, but he has this incredible, beautiful girlfriend named Anna.
I'm the biggest fan of the Brew and Anna. I freaked out when I saw that Brew was on the show.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, interesting. Like he's not straight up playing that he's single, but he's not mentioning that he has a girlfriend. But then I was like, I'm so excited to like see Anna supporting him when it comes out.
So we filmed that last year when they had, and I saw them all this weekend. And so I like really understood the timeline better. So while they were on the show, they had like just met, or when he was on the show, they had just met each other. And so they had like spent a lot of time together, but they hadn't had like the talk yet, partially because Brew was going on the show. So Anna was like, I want him to have, I'm sure she's fine with me explaining this because it's all like lovely and fine. But she was like, I want him to have whatever experience he's going to have. So they knew each other and they knew that they liked each other, but they also were like, I'm going to be realistic about this. He's going to be gone for a month. And they set their boundaries. Okay, everyone, they set their boundaries, write it down, set their boundaries. And they went, Brew went on the show and came back. And after he came back, he I mean, he did like really lovely things for her while he was away. Like he was like writing her letters that he gave to her after he got home, like things like they're very like romantic with each other. And it's like, it's the sweetest, most heartwarming thing in the world, especially because they're on like the younger end too. I think they're both like 25 ish. So I'm like, where did you guys get this energy from? This is beautiful. I love it. So he had in his mind that like he wanted to be with her, but it was just not discussed yet. So like being on the show, I had never seen his TikToks before, which is like one of the funny things about the TikTok algorithm, because how does this man have 3 million followers? And I had no idea who he was. And the pictures that he had in the show, to be fair, don't look that much like him. So I think I was also sort of caught off guard by like, oh my God, he looks like Shawn Mendes. Like what is going on? Like he looked so like normal boy from Michigan, and he's like, you know, extremely handsome. So I was like partially just caught off guard because that was not who I was expecting when I walked into the room.
Yeah.
And I also said that in the hallway, by the way. I was nowhere near Brew's room, but production was like, ooh, let's put that in. Yep. But yeah, so then Brew and I actually took our plane from the UK back to LA together. And on the plane, we were just talking about like dating life in LA. And he was like, he was basically talking about Anna without talking about Anna. So he was like, I think I wouldn't want to date anybody who's lived in LA too long. I think I would want to date somebody who's like kind of closer to my hometown. And they're both from Michigan. Like, you know, he was referring to her the whole plane ride without actually talking about her. So nothing ever happened between Brew and I. We've always stayed friends. I saw the both of them all weekend long, and they're both like such lovely, wonderful people. They're exactly how you want them to be. Like just bubbly and sweet and like welcoming and kind. And truly just like perfect for each other. I can't even believe how many people are like, what's going on with you and Brew? And I'm like, you want me to home wreck that?
the most beautiful, lovely, wonderful
Pure, and they're so perfect for each other. I'm like, are you guys out of your mind? What? I would simply never.
Yep.
They're great. I love them.
Same. Yeah. Big fan. Big fan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Alyssa, do you think your dating life is going to be different now that you have this newfound fame?
Maybe. Netflix fame and like internet fame are so interesting because like there's many times where no one will know who I am. And even if I tell them exactly where I am from, like I could be like, oh, I was on a Netflix show. There's going to be plenty of people who don't care. So I think it's sort of 50-50. I don't think that I would want to date somebody who is like also in like from a reality show necessarily. Yeah. I think that there's like, not always, but there's a lot of like egos in the room. And so I wouldn't want to do that. I would want to like date somebody who's relatively like, you know, normal, has a normal person job and does normal people things. I don't really know. I haven't really tried to date because it's just so like, there's been so much happening all the time.
You haven't had a minute.
No, I haven't. and it's also like now there's been conversations where I've had to have with people where I've had to say, you know, like, I don't know what my life looks like for the next even like 2 months. So it seems sort of unfair to like pull somebody into that who, you know, can't relate to what that's like right now. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who has like a super stable, normal day-to-day life where they can kind of project what the next couple of weeks or months are going to look like for them. I can't do that for them. Like my life is not stable enough. So it's all sort of like TBD. And we'll just have to see. I don't know. It's definitely different though. I feel how different it is. Partially because now I have to think about like if people are going to try and hang out with me because they want me to like tag them in an Instagram story or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Strange.
To be continued.
Yes, exactly.
What is your zodiac sign, and do zodiac signs mean anything with the sex aspect of our lives?
I don't know that much about zodiac signs. I'm a Libra. And apparently I am a very Libra, but I don't know anything. Like here's the thing. I want all of the work that I do to be based on like research and studies that have been done for a long time with like a diverse group of people. And I don't really think that things like horoscope signs, not that they're not legitimate, because I don't really know if they are or they aren't, but I don't really think that people do studies the same way based on like signs, you know? So I feel like sometimes it's a helpful tool for people to like identify their own behaviors and be like, oh, I'm a Leo, so I have really strong energy or whatever it is. And maybe that's a good way for them to like have some level of self-awareness. But beyond that, I am the wrong person to ask. I don't know. I didn't live in LA that long.
I know. I'm right there with you on all of that. I feel like people turn to astrology similarly to how some people turn to religion, like when they want to give meaning to something, they want to understand something more or like help themselves. Yeah. Like kind of give meaning to things. So
Exactly.
Okay. My last question for you is, what is the best piece of dating advice you've ever gotten?
Oh man. The best piece of dating advice. Well, I'll give you this in two parts, because the best piece of sex advice is wetter and slower is always better. Buy lube. Buy it. You won't regret it. I promise you, you won't.
When are you going to get a lube sponsor?
Oh, girl, I'm on it. I am on it.
I love it.
I went to the Museum of Sex recently. And the bartender was like, she had all of these different types of flavored lubes and she had like little sample sizes of them. And she gave me a bunch of them. And so that I just like have them in my purse. And I was out once and I was talking to a friend about how she needed to buy lube. And I was like, oh my God, I literally have some. Do you want some? And she's like, this evolution that you've had is a lot for me. but anyway, so dating advice, I would say, I think the biggest thing, especially now with dating, is you're looking for somebody who's a good fit for you. So anytime that things don't work out, it's not a rejection. It was just never a good fit. And that's okay. It has nothing to do with you. You still hold all of the same value that you did as a person, as a human being, as a friend, as a sibling, as a kid, as a a coworker. You hold all of those same values as a human being. And if something doesn't work out in your dating life, it just means that person wasn't for you. And that's totally, totally fine. Make sure that you're clear with the boundaries you want to set for yourself. And when it comes down to those tough conversations, just push yourself and have them. Just say it. Throw it out there, say it. And if it's not received well, that person wasn't for you and it's time for you to dip. And that's fine. You'll find there's so many people out there and there's so much time. Like my whole life changed when I was 26. My whole life changed at 26. Like I cannot emphasize what a 180 this has been for me and my life. So if you are at any point in your life feeling like you're running out of time and you're kind of like up against a wall in terms of like your career or your dating life or whatever, I promise you, you are not. There's so much time to learn and to grow and to find your person, and you're going to be fine. I promise you'll be fine.
That was beautiful. I'm like getting a little emotional.
Starts crying.
Like, wipes tears. No, that was incredible. I couldn't have said any of it better myself. Alyssa, thank you so, so much for being here. Oh my God, where can everybody find you?
I am on TikTok and Instagram at Alyssa Lube. It's LJUB. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use it that much, but my Twitter is Thicky Lovato. I just have to throw that in there whenever I can. I have a YouTube channel too, and it's linked on my Instagram, and I'm always doing like question boxes for sex ed content. So if anybody has any questions for me, I'm always accepting them. So
I've been watching those. They've been amazing. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And it's just, I really admire it and look up to it and look up to you. So
thank you. I mean, you're doing the Lord's work too. We're in this together.
We're out here trying our best.
We really are. We are out here.
All right. To everyone who tuned in, don't forget to send this episode to a friend who you think would benefit from hearing it, which means all of your friends, because this stuff is not talked about enough. And once you all listen to it together, you can talk about it together. And don't forget to make sure you are following on Spotify, subscribed on Apple, giving a 5-star rating and review, and share this on your Instagram story if you loved it. Tag Alyssa, tag seeing other people, and we will see you next time.